Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. While we were still weak, while we were still weak, while we were still weak. Way before Christ died on the cross, and way before Paul wrote Romans, mankind had been weak and vulnerable to God's wrath. From Genesis 6, verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I made them. You see, when sinful men stand before God, who is holy, they are weak and they are vulnerable. At the time of Noah, God had finally had it with sinful mankind. Sin reigned on the earth. Out of the billions of people who lived on the earth, the Lord found only 8 people whom he chose to save. Only 8 people who had faith in him. The Lord destroyed billions of lives in the waters that would save 8 people in the ark. The weakness and vulnerability of sinners before God could not have been more evident. But did mankind learn his lesson? Hardly. Not many years after the flood, mankind had become so prideful and unbelieving in the Creator God who created him that he would attempt to build a tower to heaven so that he could effect his own salvation. Again, God intervened. This time he scattered man over all the earth, confusing his speech by inflicting many languages on mankind. The weakness and vulnerability of sinners before God could not have been more evident. Even so, it didn't take very long for mankind to become so evil in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah that the Lord would destroy these 2 cities circa 2100 BC. He was true to his promise not to destroy the entire earth again by water. However, the sin and unbelief in Sodom and Gomorrah had become so great that the Lord could not bear them anymore. Sent fire and brimstone from the heavens to destroy these 2 cities. The weakness and vulnerability of sinners before God could not have been more evident. But God loved mankind somehow and wanted a relationship with these sinners. So God made a covenant with Abraham, and later God made a covenant with Moses. And these covenants can be summed up by the following words from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people, if. But mankind does not change. Indeed, mankind could not change his sinful ways. He did not and could not turn from his wicked ways. Nevertheless, God heard from heaven. And God would make a new covenant with mankind. And I don't know why we don't hear about this text any more than we do. This great text of the new covenant from Jeremiah 31:31. God made a new covenant with mankind. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The weakness and vulnerability of sinners before God could not have been more evident. But God would not destroy mankind again. The Lord made the new covenant with man. It would take God to keep both sides of the new covenant. God kept the God side by being faithful to his promises. And God kept the man side by sacrificing his son. While we were still weak, while we were still vulnerable before the God of all creation, whose wrath over sin had not been vented and spent, it was that time. But the time was right for God's perfect sacrifice. The Romans ruled over the land God gave to Abraham. Pagans and idol worshipers ruled over God's chosen people. And God's priest, the Pharisees and Sadducees, had turned his temple into a den of thieves by their corruption. Those who believed in the triune God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Jeremiah, those believers were forced to travel into the wilderness, to go into the wilderness to worship and be baptized into repentance by John the Baptizer. The people knew that there was great apostasy, that is, unbelief and falling away from faith in the temple. So the time was right. God's wrath over sin must be spent on humanity for the last time. So God sent his son to die on a Roman cross. God punished his own son in order to take out his vengeance upon sinful mankind once and for all. There would be no floods to destroy mankind. There would be no fire and brimstone, though one might say that Sodom and Gomorrah were a preview of eternal hellfire to come. There would be no more shaking and trembling on Mount Sinai. There would be a one-time spilling of holy, innocent blood to pay for the sins of the world. The weakness and vulnerability of sinners before God could not be more evident as his son hung on a cross. A righteous man dies for the unrighteous. How could this be? Because God loved the world so that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear ones, brothers and sisters in the faith, we have been reconciled to God. We have been justified before God. We have been made to be just as if we never sinned, justified. When we were the enemies of God in sin and unbelief and rebellion, even then, we were reconciled to God by the suffering and blood of his son. But what about now? What about now? How much more? How much more since we are reconciled by his death? How much more shall we be saved by his life? The free gift of God is God's grace, God's undeserved pardon for our sin, extended to many through the perfect obedience of the second Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a free gift to us, but it was very expensive, paid for with the holy precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of the Son of God. He poured his blood out for you on the cross, but he pours it out now for you eternally at his holy table. Come, dear ones, your sin and your vulnerability are evident, but his love for you while you were still sinners is more evident here at this table. Come to the table of your Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.